There's one scene in Toy Story that I die over every single time.
Which one is that?
It's when Woody's in the chest for the first night, and he wakes up and goes, "Has anyone seen my hat?" And the shark comes up and goes, "Look, I'm Woody. Howdy, howdy."
There's a leak in the buzz.
Good afternoon!
Not one of our better intros.
What a show.
Hi, everyone. It's 11:20 on a Tuesday night. And this is Why Is This Thing?
Why is this a thing, Mika?
I couldn't tell you. I really don't know at this point.
I'm just surprised that after many months, we have not found anything better to do with our Tuesday nights.
No.
And it's been almost every Tuesday night.
That's a great point. We have missed very few weeks along the way. We have missed very few.
And typically made them up on a different day, but...
Yeah. No. We've spent way too many hours on this show.
We've missed, what, two episodes?
Something like that. Yeah, two.
If that.
Yeah. And we've done marathons, and we've done multiple nights a week. And
I think the most incredible part is that we don't have anything on the backlog. We do it all the night before. Like, we don't do anything ahead of time. We don't have anything saved up for if we miss a week. Like,
oh, no.
It's all the night before.
Yes.
So.
Or sometimes, you know, or
every Tuesday I see your ugly mugs.
And we'll plan the thing the night of, too. We'll come in like, hey, what the hell are we going to do today? And we'll just do it.
And, well, I think that's the funny part, is that we actually have a list this time, and we're still like, what are we going to do? We got a whole fucking list.
That's like today. We didn't do anything from the list.
Roll the die. Whatever.
Yeah, why not?
See what happens.
That's right. So...
Unless you've been under a rock past a week or so, right? Everybody's been talking about this thing.
Are they?
Oh, I guess they are. Yeah.
Everybody's been talking about
it. I guess they are.
The Grease the Musical thing, right?
Yeah, Grease Live.
Well, Grease is a musical. Well, Grease the Musical Live.
Grease the
on
Musical.
On TV, remade, remastered, 2016 edition, deluxe.
Yeah.
It's the official title.
So,
it's all a subtitle under Grease. Grease the Musical Live.
Grease Live happened Sunday, and I did not watch it. You two did.
Yes.
I only was able to watch... I was actually at work.
Okay.
And it was on the TV at work.
Which is on in the background.
Right, so I was... I mean, the volume was on and stuff, so I was there for bits and pieces of it.
Uh-huh.
Mostly the ending.
I will ask you two about it in a minute, sure. But here at Why Is This a Thing... We don't do it the way that everybody else does it. We're not talking about what everybody else is talking about.
Fuck that.
You know? We are talking about the hidden side of Hollywood this week. We're talking about the little gems from popular culture that no one is discussing. Everybody's talking about Vanessa Hudgens and her dead dad this week. And Julianne Hough and the other dude that's playing Travolta.
Is she still with Ryan Seacrest?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. You're like, what are you, nuts? You don't know this?
I didn't even know she was.
Notice I didn't even react to him.
I didn't know she was in the first place.
They're not together anymore, no. But everybody's talking about
that.
But
they were together for a while.
So wait, Seacrest is straight. Like, are you serious? You're
surprisingly, not doing... yes.
That's the new... Well, we don't know this for a fact. She could be, as they say,
not going to tell me John Travolta's gay.
Well.
I know. And Kevin Spacey, too. I'm going to start telling you that.
Is that true?
Well, you didn't know that?
No.
Kevin Spacey's a homo.
That's awesome.
Wait, is he really?
Wait, you didn't know this?
No.
Yeah.
Dude.
Kevin Spacey's a flame.
Him and, like, Sir Ian McKellen just, like...
You didn't know this?
That'd be awesome.
I had no idea.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey's...
I'm shipping them.
Yeah, okay. There
I'm
you go.
Shipping
really?
Them.
Really?
Kevin's... That's awesome, though.
Yeah, no, he's very gay. Anyway, everybody's talking about that. We say no on this show. We're going to talk
Fuck
about
no.
Grease... Two. Not the original Grease, not a Broadway play version of it. No, we're watching Grease 2 starring Michelle Pfeiffer, the best Catwoman.
Michelle Pfeiffer, that white gold.
That's right, that white gold, Michelle Pfeiffer.
She wore pink.
She did wear
in this
pink.
Movie.
Well, she was a pink lady, so that that would go...
The lack of creativity in that naming.
Yeah, well, the lack of creativity in this movie in general. But I don't want to get ahead. Zachary, as I think the biggest Grease fan of the three of us.
Yes.
I think. I liked Grease when it came out, but you're by far the biggest fan.
I've probably seen it 15 times.
So you watch Grease live. I want your review of it, and go ahead. Go wild, sir.
It was good. Uh-huh. It's some things, they changed up a little bit. And I understand why they changed it up.
Mm-hmm.
For example, every time someone was supposed to be smoking a cigarette, they were chewing on a toothpick.
Mm-hmm.
They cleaned up some of the lyrics a little bit to make a little bit more family-friendly, rather.
Like what?
Oh, what's that line in Grease Lightning?
Grease Lightning, Grease
that's
Lightning.
That's a line I was thinking of.
Well, in the song Grease Lightning in the movie, they say put out.
Mm-hmm.
But in Grease Live, they say make out.
Oh, that's
so
dumb.
They just sort of...
Oh,
they clean
that.
It up a little
I
bit.
I hate that so much. I hate it when they censor songs.
It's not like
shit.
Kids know what put out means.
Yeah, they have no idea.
No. Fucking know. And if they do, I mean...
Mom put out the cookies on the ledge. Yeah, that's what they think put out means. Like, come on.
Your mom's a dirty girl.
And I think being such a big fan of Grease, I have a little bit more things to pick at.
Mm.
Like, Sandy's not from Australia in Grease Live.
Really?
She's from Salt Lake City.
Why?
Or she's from Utah.
Well,
isn't that a big part of the show? Isn't that pretty big?
Well, no, it was just supposed to be she was going back to Australia, which is why she was leaving at the end of the summer.
Right.
But instead, she was just going back to Utah.
Okay.
But
Utah is an exotic country.
It is. The nation of yes. Utah.
The
dingo ain't your baby in Utah.
I think they actually talk like that there, too.
They probably do.
Mario Lopez in it.
Mario Lopez is in this?
Yes,
yeah, he's Vince Fontaine.
Why?
Because Mario Lopez is great.
Why is Mario Lopez ruining our things? Can't he stay away? Mario Lopez ruins everything. I hate Mario Lopez.
He looks like DNCE he's made was in it.
He looks like he's Who? Made out of chocolate.
DNCE, Joe Jonas's new band.
Oh, he's in a new band? Are the Jonas Brothers not a thing anymore?
No, they broke up. Well, one of them got married.
Kevin got married. Uh-huh. Nick did a solo. Joe did a solo. And then he started up a new band called DNCE.
Best Jonas Brother, go.
Is that Dance Without the A?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Nick, best Jonas Brother?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Kevin just because he was in Celebrity Apprentice.
He's married.
Well, he was on Celebrity
He's
Apprentice.
He's useless now.
And Trump said nobody outsmarts me because he tried outsmarting Donald Trump. And he got fired because of it.
Okay. Voice to Men was in it.
That I like. I love me some Boyz II Men.
Carly Rae Jepsen. Yeah, she's
Call
in
Call Me Maybe Girl?
Japsen.
Yeah.
What's she up to these days?
Doing Grease Live.
She's still waiting for that call.
She's still waiting.
Still waiting on that call.
I feel like...
But no, I liked it.
She was poised to be the next pop diva superstar. What happened to that? Like, what went wrong for her?
She had a couple hits, but nothing really blew up like Call Me Maybe.
She had one, right? She didn't have any others after that.
That's the only
one. No, she had a few.
I thought she like
she had two or three after that.
I thought she was supposed
but again
to be...
they weren't as nearly as big as Call Me Maybe.
Oh, I thought she was supposed to be Katy Perry and just didn't turn into it. Like I don't know. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. You're destined to become great, and meanwhile Ariana Grande is a superstar.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Jessie J sang.
I don't like Jessie J.
The Grease theme.
Okay. A lot of like musical guest stars.
Big names.
Then. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so
Julianne Hough
played Sandy, right?
Julianne Hough played Sandy.
Yeah.
I don't know the guy who played
He's
Danny.
He's some chum.
Okay.
Some chum.
All right.
Carlos Pena played... Pena? Yeah, played
Carlos
Kinnicky.
Pena?
Yeah.
Not Michael Pena.
No. Carlos from Big Time Rush.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Was Zac Efron involved?
No.
Okay, good.
Vanessa
Hudgens played who?
She played Riz.
Okay.
Rizzo. Carly Rae Jepsen played Frenchie.
How was she?
Kiki Palmer played Modi.
Oh, Kiki Palmer?
Yeah, she
Drew
played
Jackson
Modi.
VP?
Yeah.
That Kiki Palmer?
Your friend and mine.
I'm a fan.
How was Vanessa Hudgens, he said?
Yeah.
Good.
Good for her.
I mean, no, we can kind of agree, like, High School Musical was like the modern Grease in a way.
But much
it was, though.
But much
of course, of course.
Yes.
But it was. It was the modern adaptation of... So, I think it made sense to choose her to be in it.
Yeah.
Glad they didn't, like, put her as the main role, though.
Well, Rizzo's kind
Rizzo's
of a
pretty,
major,
it's a pretty
I
major
mean,
role, yeah.
She's not...
She is the lead of the Pink Ladies.
She's not...
She's no Sandy, though.
She's not Sandy.
She's no Sandy,
She's no
okay.
Olivia Newton-John.
She's no Olivia
Newton-John. That's fair. But, yeah, it was good. Okay. I did enjoy it.
Okay. I applaud Vanessa Hudgens, because her dad, I guess, died the night before.
Like 24 hours before Grease 5 was supposed to go on, and she just went on there.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Gee, you know what? Screw all those people that jerked off to her when those nude pics came out.
You were one of them.
Screw them.
I guarantee it. I don't even have to ask.
Not going to comment on that.
Plead the fifth.
I'm plead the fifth on that one. No, yeah. Good for her. No, that's awesome. No, I heard great things about it, and I heard that they just did laps on NBC's lawn and just, you know, fucking destroyed Sound of Music and The Wiz and what other ones did they do? Peter Pan. Yeah, they're just like...
What's the next one coming out?
They announced it.
What was it?
I don't remember. They're doing Rocky Horror Picture too for Fox. Fox is doing that.
Oh,
I don't know how they're going to do that. You want to talk about censoring for live television.
I hope they just don't censor. I hope they make it worse.
Laverne Cox is Frankenfurter.
Really?
Yeah. And Victoria Justice is the Susan Sarandon role.
I like that.
That'll be interesting.
That'll be an interesting lovemaking scene.
It will. So I'm glad you liked it. I heard really good things. And
But like I said, I think being such a huge Grease fan,
mm-hmm.
I'm picking at it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was still good.
What'd you think, Dave?
The parts you've seen.
Yeah, I didn't get to see like too much. Really, the ending was the only part I actually got to sit down and watch through, because by that point we were done working.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed very well done, very well choreographed, like really put together. I'm going to look at it from the standpoint of the off-camera work, because that's what I'm more familiar with.
Mm-hmm. As if you're going as if it was an actual stage show, which it was.
Fact that it was live and the way they're doing their camera cuts and everything, it was just so spot on. There were no way, I couldn't see any issues at all.
Yeah.
And
I heard there were sound problems though in places.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple places, but
okay.
It wasn't that bad.
I'm just imagining all of the effort that went into, all the rehearsals that went into it. It seemed pretty incredible.
Yeah.
The amount of people that were just there at the end, the very end, when they showed everybody, it was just like, it was a huge crowd. And to get that many people working together on task, like, for not only a live performance and not only a televised performance, but a live televised theater performance that matched almost word for word the script of, like, the original in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible, I think, in that aspect.
I am not familiar with the stage show, and I don't know how similar the stage show is to the movie, but I hear that they took more from the stage show and that people that were fans of the play really enjoyed it. So there's a thought for you. I did see some screen grabs of it, and those sets were insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those sets amazing. Were crazy. Yeah.
Like, just the scope of it and how, like, big, like, they were in the L.A. River or whatever that's supposed to be when they're racing through the...
Thunder Road.
Yeah. But it's essentially the L.A. River.
It is the L.A. River.
It is the L.A. River. But it is... it was amazing just how big it was. So...
Well, in the beginning when Jessie J is singing the Grease theme,
mm-hmm.
She's walking, like, through the, like, different sets and all this stuff. And it was sprawled out over the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that you had the sort of facade of Rydell High, mm-hmm. which was its own set. And then the hallways and the gym. And they had, an actual carnival going for, like, the ending... Awap Bamaluma, Awap Bamboo. I don't know the name of that song. I think that is the name of that song. Where We Go Together or something like that.
Yeah. We go together like...
I sang that in choir.
It's
a great song. I sang that in choir.
Song.
I used to know how to do all that.
I can do it. I just don't want to right now. The worst. But yeah, it was massive.
Awesome. I gotta watch it. It's on the DVR.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
I can't wait to check it out. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
No.
Oh, no. We're here to talk about the cult classic.
Is it?
I think so.
No. There's not a cult in the world that would watch
is
this.
Is that crazy? The Scientologists even would go crazy about this
shit? No. They'd be upset because John Travolta's not.
This caused that giant, like, punch drinking incident is they watched this movie and then they were like, I can't do it. Pop one back, fell over, dead.
Oh, what was the name of that cult?
The Punch Cult. The Kool-Aid Cult.
Alright. Let's talk about Grease 2.
Yeah, Grease 2.
How do we want to talk about that? You want to go general? Let's go macro, then micro? How do we want to do this?
Do we want to pick individual themes?
Good spot. Go ahead. Go for it.
Well, I think the idea of macro, then micro.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, anybody take the reins on this one? I got some stuff.
But... General thoughts.
Terrible movie.
Well, yeah, but more specifically than that,
it was shot in 58 days, and you can tell.
58 days.
Yeah.
Was it rehearsed in 58 days as well? Like how
long
were they working on?
It had a 58-day shooting schedule.
Wow. Okay.
But it's painfully obvious.
Sure. Sure it is. So Grease was a hit, right?
Yes.
Like Grease was a big movie.
Huge.
So shouldn't the sequel to Grease be like, I mean, maybe in today's, franchise, movie industry where it's all about like, oh my God, the next Batman Superman movie. It's like, oh my God, all the anticipation.
Well, they plan it out like 10 years
beforehand.
Yeah,
and they're scripting 5 movies at a time and they're the most anticipated releases ever. Like, wouldn't they put more effort into Grease too?
Well, they planned on doing like 4 movies out of Grease.
They did?
Yeah.
Seems like a big
miscalculation. And a TV show.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like, and it just... because this one bombed so badly, they're just like, nah, fuck that. And just didn't go forward.
I feel like movie culture was different, or sequel culture at the very least was different. They just did sequels differently. Like, they did 10 Jaws movies or whatever they did. What did they do? 5 Jaws
they
movies
did,
or something?
I think 5.
I think there's 5 of them. But no one remembers
I only
those
thought
movies.
There was one.
No, there's 5.
There's 5.
There's a lot of...
Yeah, but no, everyone only ever thinks of... we're going to need a bigger boat, Jaws.
Yeah.
They think Jaws, the actual Jaws movies, not Jaws 2, Revenge of Jaws, Jaws 3, bigger Jaws, Jaws 4.
But no one cared, though, is the point.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody just accepted, yeah, sequels are generally bad. They're just cash grabs. A lot of times they're
I think one
DVD.
Of the only franchises at the time that really people were excited for the next one was, like, the James Bond series.
Star Wars?
Yeah, I guess Star
well,
Wars.
Star Wars was also... 6 years after Grease 2.
Okay, I mean...
6 years after? Not... 6 years... 5 years before.
Was the first Star one Wars. Was in the 70s.
1977 was the original...
Oh, you're right.
...Star Wars movie.
Yeah, so...
I don't know...
Slight miscalculation.
Yeah.
You thought 72?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what I was thinking there, right. Actually.
I mean, no, I think there were certain franchises where sequels were good, but I think overall people would... tend to ignore them, like
yeah.
You're saying.
I mean, I don't know. All those Rambo movies.
Well, I just think in general, people didn't see movies as much.
Yeah.
As they do now.
There
are more big movies coming out all year round than ever before.
I don't know if that's true, though, but, well...
Big name movies. I'm not talking about quality. I'm saying actually big name, like...
But the
big production.
But the biggest movies of the time, though, were much bigger. Like, E.T., like, when E.T. came out, that movie was making money a year after it came out. Like, it was huge. And if you inflate it, it outgrosses Avatar and fucking all the Star Wars movies, you know, and everything. Like, E.T. was huge. The original Star Wars, huge. Gone with the Wind, if you go that far back,
yep.
Huge. So, like, those are, like, the tentpole, like, really, really big releases, although there was mostly shit in the theater... and that no one cared about, the upper echelon, the bell curve, you know, those are the tippy top were really popular, for sure. But yeah, no, it's just weird to think that Grease 2 comes out and it's like, it doesn't taint everything. Like, because now you think, oh, you know, if like, Spider-Man 3 forever, like, change. Everybody hates the Spider-Man franchise because of Spider-Man 3 now. It's like, all of a sudden, you got to stick the landing. You got to get the last one right. Dark Knight Rises, not as good as the first two. All of a sudden, it erases the fact that those two movies are good. You're one of those people that complains.
You are one of those people.
No, I still love The Dark Knight.
Yes.
I just hate that Dark Knight Rises.
But all of a sudden, you hate Christopher Nolan. You forget that he made the greatest superhero movie of all time, and you're focused on the fact that
he made
it.
I give the credit to everyone else. That's all.
Oh, my God.
I just simply give the credit to everyone else.
Fair enough. Okay.
It's his job to make sure that the movie doesn't suck. That's, like, his one job.
Good point.
Really, that's like, when you're the director, just don't suck. But that's it. Like, even if it was a mediocre movie, like, that would have been fine.
But it was mediocre,
nah,
though. It was fine.
This is not the debate we need to have right now.
Okay, while we're talking about Grease 2.
But, you're wrong.
Alright, let's talk about the lessons in Grease 2, and then we'll go from there.
I think Grease 2 was a commentary on young hookup culture. No, hear me out.
Okay.
There was the bowling alley song was basically
Let's Bowl.
A discuss. Yes, thank you. Let's bowl.
Because, you know, let's bowl, let's rock and roll.
There were a lot of there were a lot of sexual undertones to that song.
Yeah.
And then there's the more overt sex ed song.
Reproduction.
I want to commit like 10 minutes to that later.
Also, there's just the fact that, you know, everybody was a sexual figure.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, and then there was the song "Do It for America."
Do It for America. You know, that reminded me of a movie that we should watch, which we'll, I'll write that down later.
Okay.
What is it? Team America?
Team America World Police?
World Police?
Why have we not watched that?
Oh, that, well.
Because that's a funny-ass movie and doesn't deserve it.
That's a piece of art. That thing's amazing.
All right.
I mean, come on. Have you seen it?
Yes, it's wonderful.
It's great.
Anyhow.
America. Fuck yeah.
Now, just notice the two groups of people. There is the what are they? The biker gang? The
T-Birds.
T-Birds.
And the Pink Ladies?
And the Pink Ladies. Now...
Oh, what a novice.
Wow.
Nick, no, I knew can't the, even. Nick, I knew the name of the Pink Ladies. I just Nick, forgot the T-Birds for
Nick,
a second.
You are not the one that I want. Keep going.
The T-Bird. The T-Birds are meant to represent the angsty teens, you know, mm-hmm. in search of lust.
Wait, and so you're saying Johnny was angsty?
Yes.
Wow, I could not get that. What a conclusion. What a bold conclusion. Seems like a large leap.
I've decided that the Pink Ladies, the color pink, is very sexual.
Sure.
It's...
Well, Victoria Secret definitely believes that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And,
indubitably.
Notice, they're basically like, oh, only the T-Birds can go after the pink kind of thing. Like, you know, there's very sexual undertones.
Okay.
So, I think this movie was a commentary on the young hookup culture that was developing in the early 80s.
So, you're saying...
Did you just come up with this theory on the spot?
Yes.
Of course.
So you're saying two in the pink equals one in the T-Bird. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. So, that's my commentary on...
Bush in the band is worth two... No, a bush in the...
A bird in the hand is worth two...
No. What's that? What's the whose line is it anyway thing that Colin Mockery said?
Oh, I don't remember. You're the one that said it to me the other day.
A bush in the hand is worth two in a barrel?
A bush in the band is worth two in... Oh,
I don't remember.
John Travolta's mouth?
Okay, here's a theme. This is probably a theme that has been also in the original Grease, but even more overt here. Essentially, pretend that you're someone that you're not, and hopefully you'll get the desire of the popular girl that's kind of a bitch and doesn't want you in the first place.
Popular person.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Yes, popular cunt. And,
well, as you know, a popular girl does sort of apply in Grease.
And
then Danny decided to go be a track athlete.
And you will be accepted by the douchey guys that only care about how much gel is in their hair.
How much gel is in their hair and what they're putting their dick in.
Of course. Well, I mean, they don't even
I don't think they care.
Yeah, I don't think they really care as long as it's in something.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough.
You know? But no, it is very much like this whole movie is the main character's name is what now?
Michael.
Michael. Okay. So.
Jeez, Nico.
Hold on.
Get your shit together.
I would like to point
Michael
out.
Michael and Stephanie.
I would like to point out.
Yes.
Nick remembered something.
Don't
about
forget
the movie.
Rhonda.
I'll tell you this. Danny Zuko, Michael is not. Okay? Not even close.
He wasn't supposed to be.
I know.
Johnny was supposed to be Danny.
I guess a little bit of a twist on it, but he's still our male protagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's British.
Yeah. So his whole thing is he's going to pretend to... This is the whole plot of the movie. He pretends to be this biker dude. Or doesn't pretend. Is actually this mysterious...
He turns into.
Yeah. He's Batman. It's his alter ego. No. He's literally Batman. Or, you know, he's Clark Kent Superman. Right? And he goes out and he gets the affection of Michelle Pfeiffer. And she falls in love with this figure. Still thinks that the British guy's a nerd. And all of a sudden he reveals himself. Hey, I'm... Or no. She actually realizes it on stage. That Michael is the mysterious biker guy after all.
I don't think... Did she realize it was him, or did she just realize... No, she didn't realize
no,
it was him.
No, she didn't realize.
She just thought he was dead.
Oh, really?
On stage.
At the end, after he jumped the pool, he took off his goggles and helmet. And, everyone
and then
like,
everybody goes, Michael! fucking Clark Kent on that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, not a really good message. And then they all accept him at the end because now he can ride a motorcycle. Like,
well,
that's really the key.
Really well, though.
Learn how to ride a bike.
Yeah. Well, yeah. In all fairness... Really well.
Yes.
He jumped 100 feet on that bike.
Can I share an anecdote about a motorcycle that happened to me in the last 24 hours?
I'm excited.
I feel like this fits in well.
I didn't think Nico had stories.
So,
especially about motorcycles.
Okay. So you
probably saw one in
You both know that I'm a crazy person.
Of course.
You're aware
They
of
all
this,
know
right?
that.
And every once in a while, there is a surrogate that exists in life, call it an avatar, if you will, of my hatred.
So hold on, surrogate.
What did I say?
Surrogate.
Surrogate? Oh, it's surrogate, you know. I'm from Minnesota. Oh, that's surrogate, yeah. There's a surrogate. It's an avatar of a person that just encapsulates everything I hate about humanity.
Okay.
I met one of those avatars in the last 24 hours, and it happened when I was on the intersection down the street.
Well, is it really an avatar, or is it more like a representation?
It's a bundle of all of my hatred, okay? Everything I hate about humanity.
It's a bundle of sticks.
Yes.
let's call it a bundle of sticks.
That's exactly what it is. So this bundle of sticks down the street. We're at the intersection down the street. It's where it's where the light is there by the church. They don't know what this is because they're listening on a podcast.
No, they know exactly.
Yeah, they exactly.
They're following you on Google Maps right now. Probably. Just, all right.
So that's a wide.
Because you link everything up with Facebook.
Yes. There's two lanes. One goes left. One is for straight and right. Now, they keep that lane wide so that the cars that want to go straight go in the middle and the cars that want to go right turn right.
Right. I already know the problem.
Well,
I can see the problem, too.
It's going to get worse, though. So, obviously, the worst person in the world, the worst part of humanity, worse than Klan members, worse than Nazis, worse than everything, are the people that are going straight.
A Nazi Klan member?
Yes. Also zombies.
Wait, hold on. Are they a zombie that became a Nazi Klan member, or were they a Nazi Klan member who became a zombie? Because there's a difference.
The first one.
Okay. They were actually a Nazi that became a zombie, couldn't find a purpose in life, and then found its purpose through becoming a Klan member.
Okay.
Yes. So the worst person in life is the one that goes right in the middle, not allowing you to go to turn
we're
right
so
on red.
We're so far off of Greece right
if
now.
You no, want
we're to. Right on topic. You win.
Not able to turn right if you want to. Correct?
Correct.
Worst person.
Worst person.
This yeah. person goes one step further. He doesn't go in the middle. He goes all the way right, leaving a lane in the middle for people that want to pull up at the stopped light. He's going straight, yet he's pulled all the way right.
Oh, so like two people try going straight at the same time.
Well,
that would
kind of. I want to go right on red. He's blocking me. There's plenty of room to the left of him, but he's blocking my way to go right on red. I'm infuriated. But I'm not just infuriated because of that. It's worse. He's riding a fucking motorcycle.
What's wrong with motorcycles?
I'll tell you what's wrong with motorcycles.
Oh, boy.
Because when the light goes green, this motherfucker, this menace to society,
oh, I know.
This fucking villain.
Villain.
Takes off and pops a wheelie in the middle of the intersection. Fuck that guy!
Was he on a crotch rocket or a chopper?
I don't know what the fucking difference
was
is.
Was he on like a big Harley?
No!
Was he on a motorcycle or was he on a toy?
He was on a toy.
Okay.
Guy was on a toy.
Crotch
pulled
rocket.
All the way right. Crotch it's rocket. 11 in the morning. There's like five people on the road and he's showing off to everybody that he can do wheelies and he's taking up the lane. All the things that I hate in life in one person. I want him to just fall off that fucking motorcycle and rip his face off. Hate him so much. I'm sorry. Keep going. What were we talking about?
Face off.
We were talking about motorcycles.
Oh, okay. Another tangent. I'm sorry.
We're all over the place tonight.
We were talking about John Travolta while we were watching Grease 2.
Oh,
obviously,
oh, yeah.
Because we were talking about how Travolta makes Grease so great. Favorite Travolta performance? Go, Zach!
Face off.
Nick?
Face off or Grease? I can't decide.
I don't have a good answer.
You know what the answer is? It's Face Off.
I think it's old.
High five.
I'm gonna go.
Wait, you mean it's not that amazing movie, Battlefield Earth?
Not
I'm gonna go old hogs. Old hogs.
Wild hogs. Wild hogs.
Wild hogs.
I love him in Pulp Fiction. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction.
Forgot about Wild Hogs, the prequel to Old Hogs.
Pulp Fiction. Wait, did they make two?
No, I think you. Oh. I think he's combining Wild Hogs and Old Dog together.
I did. I did. Wild Dog, the prequel to Old Dog, by the way.
Now, where does the Shaggy Dog fit into this whole series?
Shaggy Dog.
That is a... it happens at the same time, but it's an alternate universe.
Okay.
Why do you guys ask me questions? You know I'll have an answer.
All right. Sorry, we're off of things. Okay. Back in a couple thoughts about Grease 2. I have plenty of notes here. I have three words.
Three.
It's a phrase we use quite a bit.
Too much rape.
Too much rape. We're back on the too much rape talk, everybody.
Now, we try to avoid it.
Yes.
I think we actively go out of our way to avoid rapey movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we just keep coming. And just keep finding them.
And I think, if anything, it really adds to my theory. It really, I think as males, we don't really see the pervasiveness of the rape culture in America.
Yes.
But through the media and through close analysis, I think that we can really realize that it is a serious problem.
Yeah. So in the 80s, like, these dudes just, like, really got touchy-feely with these chicks.
Oh, yeah.
Slapped them around a little bit, showed them who was boss. It got really, really, creepy in a few scenes. And
mind you, this movie also wasn't in the 80s. It was made in the 80s, but it was 1960.
Sure. Well, yeah, I'm sure it was very realistic. I'm sure they went, like, to Mad Men level lengths to make sure it was time period accurate.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
You need to watch that show.
I can't get through the first season. I'm sorry. I know it's blasphemous.
Well, I couldn't get through the first episode of Lost.
I know. Well, true.
So,
okay, there's some
different tastes.
There's some musical numbers, and they're all...
Wait, is there?
It's a musical. I don't know if you're aware of that. We should mention that.
I was too busy slitting my wrists. We'll be watching.
There's a scene in a doomsday bunker.
Right.
Yes.
Do it for America.
Let's talk about the existence of a doomsday bunker, by the way, in Greece.
It was 1961. Who needed them?
It was British, too.
Yeah.
I just want to emphasize how British the main character was.
Well, hold on. He was staying at his aunt and uncle's house.
Which they built him a doomsday bunker for.
No, I think they had one and he just took it over.
There's no way those... Were they hot in 1961? Was the doomsday bunker...
Everyone had them.
No. You're lying.
No, because they were terrified of being bombed.
Everyone had doomsday bunkers.
Well, not everyone, but it was...
They were all the rage.
But no. It was not like the slinky, Zach. It was
I mean, that's serious. So they many Americans popular. Built bomb shelters.
Really?
In their backyards, yeah.
I guess that makes sense right after World War II, huh?
Yeah.
Well, right after World War II. No, this movie took place, if I want to say...
During the Cold War.
I want to say less than 10 years... after Russia developed the bomb.
Okay. Yeah, all right, that makes sense.
So yeah, this it
was
takes
a pretty
place...
immediate threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, like, bomb shelters weren't big in, like, 1941 to... I'm going to show how bad I am at history. 45?
Uh-huh.
Is that when the war ended?
The very...
That's when we used the bomb, yes.
Okay. They weren't really all that
so
popular.
So I imagine bomb shelters wouldn't be popular before we used the bomb.
Yeah, no. But then in, like, 1954... That's when everyone got really scared of being bombed. So
I think they
made
developed
bomb shelters.
I want to say Russia developed it in like 51, but it might be earlier than that even.
Hmm. All right, well, that's good to know then. So the T-Birds...
They're really cool, though.
Yes. Well, this one looked pretty cool.
Had a little red light.
Yeah. So the T-Birds, these pile of goons, who I did not care for any of them, by the way. I didn't like a single one of them.
I loved all of them in the original.
Yeah.
I hated every single one of
them. Well, yeah, because they're great characters in the original. And they're well thought out, and it's a good movie.
Well, I mean, in the relationship between Danny and Kaneki.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
So good.
But, so the bomb shelter, the T-Birds take over the British kids' bomb shelter.
Yeah, they just go in.
And here's their plot. They have a whole ploy. They take an alarm system from, or like a little...
Airway siren.
Okay, that's what it's called. A wind-up alarm from the school... The two goons sit outside the bomb shelter as the Andy Samberg-looking
motherfucker
goes into the bomb shelter with some girl.
Susan! Yeah.
No, Sharon. That was Sharon.
Sharon!
Oh, it was Sharon.
Sharon!
Sharon!
Apparently she was in contact with Ray Liotta, you know, before Goodfellas, when learning the pronunciation, you know, the enunciation of Sharon. Karen! Karen! They break in, and he says he has the goons sound the alarm, and he
Why do you keep using goons?
Because they're goons. I can't... I'm not even gonna, like, call them T-Birds, because they don't deserve that title. Okay? They have not earned it. You gotta earn that title from Travolta.
Michael earned it.
Yeah, Michael earned it. That's right, Michael earned it. Those goons in there, those are pretender T-Birds. They aren't real T-Birds.
False pretenders.
Yes.
False pretenders?
Yes.
That's right. So they're pretenders? Listen. So they're pretending at being pretenders?
Which means they're not pretenders.
False is not... False is not the word that is describing the word pretenders. It's describing them. It's like a... It's emphasizing.
Well, don't say false pretenders.
Emphasis?
You're using the wrong emphasis.
You're both wrong, man.
They sound the alarm, and he goes, "We're under attack. By the Russians. We need to do it for America."
Which is an awesome ploy.
What a ploy this was.
What a ploy.
That would work.
Whoa, what a ploy.
That would work, wouldn't it? Would it not?
I mean, I don't know, man. He seemed to think it would work, but the double entendre here is for do it to him means we're going to have sex. Do it for her means we're going to enlist in the military.
We're going to enlist in the army and go fight the Russians.
Yes.
So throughout the entire song, she's, like, concerned, like, about... You know, our parents gonna approve and all this stuff. And he goes, "Oh yeah, it's for America. Why wouldn't they?" Like, of course. You know, Uncle Sam wants us to do it.
Yeah.
So let's do it. But in her mind, she's like, "Oh, I don't know if my mom and dad is gonna be okay with me going to join the army."
Yes.
And going to fight and going out it's
pretty great.
It's probably the funniest thing in the whole movie.
I can think of a few funnier ones, but that...
Well, no, it's so funny because it really it doesn't really appear that way until the very end.
Yeah.
When he's, like, going in for the kiss, and she goes, "Let's go right now!" And she, like, pushes him aside and opens the door and goes to run out of the bomb shelter.
So like, she bought that very quickly.
Yes.
And, I mean, I guess the ploy might have worked with a less patriotic girl, I guess.
I guess.
So you only try that with the Russian girls.
I guess so. Yay. That's a good point. Yeah, so there was rapey scene number one. Rapey scene number two, and I want to spend some time.
I didn't know you compiled a list of rapey scenes.
Oh, I got a whole list of notes here.
I got two rapey scenes.
The weirdest thing I've seen in cinema in a long time. Like a really long time.
The kiss?
No.
The reproduction song.
The sex ed scene.
Reproduction. So, can we end it with that?
Yeah, we can, sure. So the students are in a sex ed class by this guy who clearly has the hots for the hot teacher. And he sings a song about reproduction, and the guys start thrusting and getting all touchy-feely with the girls, and the girls are like, get off of me. And it gets very, the word orgy is used. And it's,
several times.
Yeah.
It's literally just like, all the guys are literally basically molesting all of the girls in the classroom.
Yeah. Who approved this scene? Like, who thought that was
a man?
I guess.
A man.
Yes.
It was so bizarre. It was like, it was very weird.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on this.
Made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
A little.
It makes you very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I loved every second of it. Because of its absurdity.
And my favorite part of the scene.
Absolutely.
Is after they're singing about the reproductive system. After the teacher is explaining to them how orgies work and how you're inserting things into other things. And they're
how
doing...
the pollen goes from the pistol.
Yes. The lusty dust. Yes, they're doing interpretive dances where a guy is like has like a circle and the other guy goes right through it as if it's like sperm penetrating.
Well, all the girls started.
All the girls were doing that, and he was going around.
Oh, okay.
He's just like
So amongst all of that,
he was pollinating everyone.
The song is about to end, and
he said it several times throughout the song.
And one of the T-Birds,
Goose.
Goose does it. Pulls out a fucking rabbit. What the fuck is up with this rabbit?
Oh, wait, no. That wasn't Goose. Oh,
that was the Jewy one.
No, that wasn't the Jewy one. That was the Andy Samberg looking motherfucker.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay.
The Jewy one did nothing except sit in the sidecar.
Okay.
Nick, you're good at making up theories on the spot. What's up with this rabbit? What does this rabbit symbolize?
I think, again, it goes back to the original... rabbits, as we know, represent fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But in the sense of a high school teen angst, I think in a sense he was looking for a lucky rabbit's foot. You know, to get laid for them, they're hoping, they're grabbing onto anything they can. He grabs this rabbit and he's like, this is the luck I would need, this lucky rabbit's foot, to get laid. I think it had to do with the angst, again. I'm going to go back to that. I think that was the overarching theme of the entire film.
Okay, Great theory. Another theory I need you to answer, though. Where did you get the rabbit, Nick?
Well,
where'd
the rabbit come from? No, I'm glad you asked.
Did Alice open up a wardrobe and out came the lion?
I don't know if you know this, but Andy Samberg himself is actually a very experienced magician.
Oh, okay. Andy Samberg now.
Andy Samberg.
Not that guy.
Not the Andy Samberg looking motherfucker.
Listen, there's no evidence that he also isn't.
Okay. That's true. That's a good point.
So I think my theory is sound.
Just like there's not evidence that you can't breathe in space.
That's a fun fact, though.
It's a fun fact, yeah.
I did some research today. I found out that nobody's ever actually suffocated in space just from, like, lack of air. Like, if they did, it was because, like, their ship was, like, falling through the atmosphere, and then they suffocated because of, like, the speed, and you know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
The lack of oxygen.
Yeah. Exactly.
But nobody has ever, like, gone outside of a spaceship and suffocated because of lack of oxygen.
Well, the guy in Gravity got his...
Well, but that's not real. That's not real, though.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is...
It's real to me. God damn it.
If only, right? No. So there's no evidence that we can't breathe in space, is what I come up with.
The fact that it's just black.
Where'd the rabbit come from?
Space!
Space! Of course.
I don't know.
It's a space rabbit.
Yeah. I don't know what the rabbit had to do with reproduction. I don't know where he got it from, but it was quite a good moment. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And the stinger to this scene, the line that comes at the end of it is...
And throughout.
Well, yeah, but they are talking about periods quite a bit. They use the word menstrual cycle, don't they? Menstruation or something.
No, they use the word mental... Mentalstration.
Mentalstration, yeah. That's what it was. That's my favorite punk goth magician.
His name Mentalstration. Yeah.
Okay. He's rivaling Chris Angel right now on the Vegas Strip. There's a real feud going on between the two of them. So the end of it, this random girl walks into the principal's office. I'll tell you what, Principal and Blanche kind of underwhelming in this movie.
Principal McGee.
And Blanche. Underwhelming.
Yeah.
Underwhelming.
Well, you don't like...
I don't like...
You don't like those two. I love Blanche.
Yeah, I mean, as the whole Rosencrantz and Guildenstern characters of this...
Really? Wow, we're going there.
Really?
Well, they are, aren't they? They're kind of like the outsiders. They're in there for comic relief. It's that they're not really part of the story.
They're waiting for Godot, though.
Yeah, you just pop into...
waiting for Godot.
That's exactly what it is. Like, I don't know. They never really... I don't know. They never really did it for me. I don't exactly know why.
I love...
All these...
Principal McGee, couldn't care less about. Mm-hmm. Is that the line? Yeah. Couldn't care less.
You could not possibly care any less.
Yeah. But I love Blanche.
Yeah. Okay. But so the random girl walks through the principal's office and goes, "This is my favorite scene in the whole movie."
You missed the first time. Yeah.
She goes, "Principal McGee, I'm kind of worried. I missed my last two periods." And the principal goes, "It's okay, honey."
And like she's so sincere about it too. Like she's just didn't understand it.
Yeah, it's okay, hon. You can make them up after school. Just such a great moment. Such a phenomenal scene right there.
Well, she realized what happened.
I think she did.
Yeah. A second too late.
Yeah, and then we got the closing line of the song.
Yes, reproduction.
No, where does the pollen go?
Oh. That's where it goes.
That's right.
I love that scene very much. That was really fun, but very rapey.
Exotic.
Stuff. Yes.
Exotic.
Doing it for the country. Let's just talk about the songs in general. What's your favorite song in this movie?
Oof.
The bowling song.
Let's bowl, let's rock and roll.
The lyrics got me.
Which, by the way, doesn't rhyme.
Let's rock and roll. How does it not rhyme? Of course it rhymes.
Not really.
Bowl roll.
Pretty damn good rhyme.
Pretty good rhyme.
It just sounds off.
It's not orange door hinge. I mean, it's something.
I kind of like Dolores reproduction.
Clitoris.
Dolores Clitoris.
Mulva.
Mulva. No, I like reproduction. I also like doing it. Well, not like, but... Doing it for the country.
Yeah. Here's the point I want to make about these songs. The original Grease movie, like, great soundtrack.
But in the original, it pushed the story forward.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Summer Nights, Grease Lightning, Alone at the Drive-In, Beauty School Dropout. It helps to reinforce the story.
Yeah, but that's what any good musical does.
Yeah.
It's that, number one, the musical numbers don't feel forced, And also they are conveying some sort of point.
Well, the number one mistake any musical can make is putting in music for the sake of putting in music.
Yes.
Which is clearly what they did.
What they did.
And really, Grease doesn't have, the original Grease doesn't have as many musical numbers as you think it would. Like, it's not a ton of musical numbers. It's not like Les Mis or something. You know what I mean? It's, they pick and choose their moments.
Yeah.
Point is, the original Grease was a love story conveyed through that music.
Yeah.
This was just like, the characters are doing something. Let's write a song about it. Doing these things.
They're like, we need to fill 20 minutes of them at a bowling alley. What are we going to have them do?
Let's have them sing about bowling.
I think the problem is that when Grease came out, I think it was originally by the producers, probably overlooked. In the sense that they didn't actually look at it as a quality movie. They looked at it as, oh, we'll fund this. And then when it went really well, they were like, wow, this teen demographic eats this shit up.
Mm.
Let's just do it again.
They'll eat up anything.
And I think they kind of underestimated the fact that Grease actually was a good story. Like you said, you know, a good musical, what it should do is make a good story, pick the pivotal moments of that story, and... you know, write a song to enhance those pivotal moments. Right. That's what you're trying to do.
Right.
You don't just write a song for the sake of writing a fucking song.
Right, yeah.
Or you give insight on the character themselves.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And what they really mean. Like in Sandra Dee in Grease.
You really get to see
what was it is like.
Yes.
Which
goodbye.
Is a bitch.
Goodbye, Sandra
100% agree.
Yeah, like, yo, yeah, we're going back to school. What's the song going to be called? We got to go back to school again.
Yeah.
Like, it's so dumb, and it's so forced in there, and they're awful, and they're really bad.
And the songs are long.
Yeah.
Too long.
I think the only song that really enforced and pushed the story along was Cool Rider.
But even that was awful.
It was awful. But I also think that was one of the shortest songs.
Well, she just walked away and kept singing, and we're all standing there like, what the fuck just happened? That's how I felt. I felt like if this happened in real life right now, which is obviously ludicrous.
If we lived in a world where people spontaneously broke out in song and dance.
Sure, yes. So assuming that this happens in real life, I'm just watching this girl just be like, you're not cool enough for me. I want a cool rider. And she just keeps walking away singing to herself.
And she's just dancing.
And she's not paying attention to you. And she just walks away. She leaves. Yeah. And I'm just standing there like... okay. Like, that's how I felt at the end of that song.
Let's talk about Samantha, too. That brings up a good point.
Yeah, what was her name?
Samantha, right?
Stephanie.
Oh, okay.
See, I don't know.
Here's the thing. Okay, let me explain something to you guys. You know how I never remember anybody's name?
Yeah.
Because I never see it written. Uh-huh. At the end of the movie, I saw her name written.
Uh-huh.
So I know for a fact it's Stephanie.
Okay.
I'm a visual. If I see it written down, I know their names.
Samantha, Stephanie, Sally, all the same. Stephanie.
Stephanie? Okay.
Stephanie is what it is. There's nothing likable about her.
No. She's kind of a bitch.
Other than the fact that she's Michelle Pfeiffer.
She's hot.
And I have made my love of Michelle Pfeiffer very clear, saying if I was around back then, she would have been my celebrity crush and she would have been my obsession in life. She's a vision, man.
Gotta point out, though, like we noticed earlier, still looking good for her age.
Good. You know, we looked up a recent picture.
I believe it said 57.
Here's her IMDb page right there. It's blowing up. Yeah, she is 57 years
57
old.
57 years old. Looks smoking.
Looking really good for 57. Good for... I mean, she just has the jeans,
even
I guess.
Ignore the for 57. She's looking pretty good.
I mean, she is also... has always been gorgeous. What has she been up to lately, by the way? She was in The Family. Oh, that's right. She did that movie with De Niro that was awful. Dark Shadows, New Year's Eve. Like, I don't know, man. Oh, she was in Hairspray. I feel like Michelle Pfeiffer is due for a comeback. I'm ready for Michelle Pfeiffer to be back with a vengeance because I love her very much. But in this movie, they go out of their way to make her unlikable. And I don't like that much. She's really a bitch in this thing.
Her standards were ridiculous. I mean, maybe she was just like a, you know, trying to play a bitchy teen.
I guess.
But
I don't know. Like, she really doesn't like the kid at all. She's just the popular girl that's too good for everybody else. She only likes the guy because he knows how to ride a motorcycle. She's not very accepting in general. It's not like she has that it factor other than her looks. Like, she has the worst personality ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for someone that is, I believe, fairly charismatic actress in Michelle Pfeiffer, I think, like, she was very underutilized in this. I don't know. Maybe I'm very nitpicking here because Grease 2 is a horrible movie. But they really didn't play to Michelle Pfeiffer's strengths.
No.
By that, I mean wearing tight leather and scratching at vigilantes. Michelle Pfeiffer, by the way, best Catwoman.
No, nope.
Zach and I talked about this for a half hour today.
Pretty heated.
Yeah, I got pretty heated.
Yeah, so Nico thinks it's Michelle Pfeiffer. Zach, you think it's, what's her name?
Julie Newmar.
Julie Newmar?
You had Newmar at one, huh?
I did have Newmar at one.
I think it's John Travolta.
Yes.
Which you know. They won't get to see because you deleted it, didn't you?
No, I have it.
Oh, you did save it?
Oh, yeah.
Can we put that on the artwork?
If you want to.
Okay, send it to me.
Travolta's Catwoman? All right.
A few more thoughts. Nuns in the bowling alley, and they're dancing. And they're, for some reason, dancing on the alleys. And number one, that's got to damage that alley quite a bit, or the lanes.
Yeah, it's definitely going to damage the lanes.
Yeah. Number two, like, aren't those things oiled up?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, how do you not slip and fall on that? Like, I just, like, accidentally put one foot over there once and fell.
And
like,
fell on smack on your ass, right?
I fell smack on my ass. Like, how are you dancing in heavily choreographed scenes there? I don't understand
It's different in the 60s. Okay. 50s?
I guess it
40s. They had a special shoes that just gripped it.
So apparently nuns like to bowl.
You say it like they're their own, like...
Hey, well, Jesus spared them.
Boo!
What, are you going on strike? Listen, you know, if this is how you're going to be, I'm just going to split. 7-10.
You're being a real turkey right now.
I want a high five for that.
Couple other things. What's the budget for the T-Bird Club? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, how much is their annual budget? Because they were apparently able to invest in jackets.
Are they a club?
I think they are. They gotta be some
you
sort of organization.
You think they're an official school organization?
No.
They're getting money from somewhere. Who's financing them?
Well, I have a theory.
Okay.
About the jackets.
Uh-huh. They're engraved.
Another one. The pink ladies were.
What, the T-Birds have their, like, they have patches on the back, though.
Yeah. But no, here's my theory.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's like a football jersey.
Okay.
When you stop playing football,
mm-hmm.
they don't buy brand new well, most people don't buy brand new jerseys. They just...
They pass it down.
Pass it down.
Sure.
So maybe it's like when Danny Zuko left,
mm-hmm.
he gave it to someone else willing of the T-Bird name.
Could be. That does not explain, however, the custom-made T-Bird bowling
suit. No, it doesn't.
That
no,
does
it doesn't.
Not explain that at all.
I'm just going to chalk that up to... and...
Like, I don't even think, like, the dude in The Big Lebowski had, like, a custom-made bowling shirt, right? Like, that wasn't engraved, was it?
He had a nice bathrobe.
That's true.
That's, I
mean, that's a fact.
It's a well-established fact. So well, he can't afford it. He spends all his money on White Russians.
That's true. And
it's a drink.
And new rugs. so there you go. That was my one observation about that. Hold on.
Yeah, apparently gangs like bowling.
Yeah.
If you're in, like, the Bloods or the Crips, let us know. Do you like bowling? Do you go bowling? Do you have custom bowling shirts?
I'm confused. Kind of like how in The Karate Kid, all the tough kids, like, karate's how they get their aggression out. Like, yeah, man. Like, it's not like I'll meet you at 4 o'clock outside the school in the back alley. It's no, I'll see you on the karate tournament floor.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they settle all their disputes.
It's just so confusing.
In Karate Kid land, it's karate. In Grease land, apparently, it's bowling.
Bowling.
That's how they settle their disputes. It is very interesting.
Also, I don't know if you have it on there, but if you do, I'm going to jump to it.
Go for it.
I hate how they were all on motorcycles.
What about it?
I hate that it was motorcycles and not a car.
There's no car.
The Pink Ladies had a car.
They had a car.
They couldn't drive it. Well, shit.
Mm-hmm.
They kept crashing into stuff. But the T-Buds, one of the biggest things in Grease was they got their car.
Yeah.
You know, they got Greased Lightning.
Right.
In this one, they all have their own motorcycles, which I think we saw them ride once.
Right. They just have them.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the Grease Lightning is an iconic, you know, it has become part of the culture of that movie. And it's there's a lot of attention paid to it. And this is just, like, the vehicles don't really matter.
Yeah.
Really nothing in this movie matters.
The only thing that mattered was Michael's motorcycle.
Kind of.
Which he built.
Yeah, I guess kind of.
But that's the only reason why it matters.
There's no heart in this movie.
No.
There's nothing that these characters care about. There's nothing that, like, we care about as the audience. It's just a bunch of rambling nonsense.
Also, the T-Birds are pussies.
Yes.
They are.
The T-Birds are pussies. I hate the T-Birds in this movie. It's awful.
It's almost like they're another group of antagonists.
Yeah. So, a couple more. We have Parkinson's guy at the end.
Guy who had a stroke in the middle of his talent show.
There's clearly a kid with Parkinson's.
Yeah, he had the most heart.
Yeah, that guy committed.
You know?
That he was like, this is my time to shine. Yeah. I'm going to make it big and move to Hollywood with this movie. And he went all out.
I hope he did.
Gave a committed performance. Certainly more
than... Little do you know, that was Neil Patrick Harris when he was younger.
It was actually Michael J. Fox. It was very bad. Very bad foreshadowing. Just really unfortunate.
That's really sad.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
It is sad.
Hey, it happens.
I gotta go back.
Rhodes.
Before I started twitching a lot. Sorry. So yeah, that guy was committed much more than the four seasons.
What's he gonna do? Like try to type to us? Like fuck, it's not gonna work. Can you imagine that? Like an internet group, like Parkinson's Unite, and they're all trying to like send us hate messages. They can't even type it. Oh,
I don't want to know what Reddit/r/Parkinson's is. I definitely don't want to see that page, but I kind of do.
Oh, God.
We're the worst people ever.
That's not true. We're close, but... ISIS terrorists, minus Zach.
Oh, Mr. Spears was my favorite character in this film. Where did you go with that
Mr.
line?
Spears?
Mr. Spears is my favorite character in this film.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
The psychopath.
So what's up with him?
I think he died.
They explained it in the beginning. He had a mental breakdown.
Okay.
At the end of the year before or whatever, and was sent away to a mental hospital. Mm-hmm. And then got released and started working again, and then immediately had another mental breakdown.
At the end, he just walks into the pool and just fucking almost drowns.
I think he does drown.
He was head first.
Yeah.
Nah, he was moving.
His legs were flailing in the air while his head was sinking at the bottom.
Yeah, but he was still moving. I'm gonna say he lived.
Okay, that's...
He wasn't there when the motorcycles went over.
Yeah.
So either he was at the bottom, or he got out.
He got out, yeah.
That's a real Jon Snow conspiracy there. Did Mr. Spears live or die at the end of Grease 2? We should bring that up on a forum or something.
The Pink Lady will bring him back. That's an extra good reference, and I'm sad that you can't appreciate
that's
it.
That's pretty good. Luckily, I can appreciate it for the both of us. My final point.
Oh, man.
No, there's a red lady
in Game of Thrones, and she's going to bring Jon Snow back to life. Don't blame the table. My final thought. Just going along the lines of how awful this music was, there is a scene in the middle. I don't know if you remember this. I did, though. Of them rehearsing for the talent show. The principal is there with the teachers.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the twin characters, and I don't know what their names are. And they are singing to
Annoying
this...
Annoying and as all hell.
Okay. There you go.
Mary and Sue.
All right. sure. Serena and Venus.
Mary-Kate and Ashley.
She lost, by the way.
She lost? Serena lost?
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, look at that. She lost a game the other day.
Oh.
Match.
That's
love.
Tennis! I'm more interested in Wii tennis.
I don't get the scoring system of tennis.
15, 30, 40.
Love.
Well, 40 then win, and then love just means you're up.
Yeah. No, love means the other person has nothing.
This is the worst conversation ever.
Oh, well, no.
So when it's 15,
they don't have
love.
Nothing. They have love.
That actually stems from, I think, a French word that means, like, nothing.
Hold Fuck on. The French. That's our other phrase on this show. So they are examining this guy's wardrobe. The song is about their wardrobe, or the guy's wardrobe. Oh, he's got the loafers on, and his pants are black, right? And he's got this nice jacket. And The chinos are black. The belt buckles in the back, right? And they're saying all these things about this guy. And
his pants are black.
Yes. And there was
all rhymed.
There was a comment made about this song. This song was clearly meant to be a bad song. So this song was clearly meant to be in the movie to contrast the other music that was going on. There was actually a line saying, oh, you know this song is horrible, right? That musical scene was supposed to be purposefully bad. However, there is very little difference between that song and every other song in the movie.
It all blended.
Yeah, and that I think, like, there's absolutely no contrast whatsoever. Like, that bad song, it just blends in with the rest of the bad songs. And I think that encapsulates just the horrible nature of Grease. Even when it's trying to be bad, Like, it's no different from the rest of the movie.
I can't, you know, I couldn't agree more.
So there you go.
One final comment, for me at least. I think, non-sexistly, I'm going to say this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Can't wait for this.
I think wow.
that, you know, the original Grease was a great movie because it's about a girl who's changing herself and becoming a bad girl, you know, for this guy. And that's the thing, is like, she's a likable character at the beginning, right?
Sure.
She's a good girl. Yeah. She goes bad for him, you know?
Yeah, she does.
Well, I mean, if you saw someone like that, you'd get chills.
Yeah, totally.
You know, they're multiplying.
Dividing, even.
He's losing control, man.
I hate you guys.
Zach, I'm electrified. You know why?
Why?
Because that power you're supplying.
It's electrified. It's electrified.
I like the echo.
That was side thought about Grease. Okay, I have to say.
We'll go. Okay, we'll take a side thought. We'll take a sidetrack.
I need to sidetrack just for a second. One of the main reasons I love Grease is because right when I was in the peak of reality television watching, you guys probably have no idea what this is, what I'm even going to reference now. There was a show called You're the One That I Want. Okay? It was hosted. Speaking of
was hosted by like Olivia Newton-John.
Mario Lopez.
Was it really?
Hosted this
He's
show.
The best.
He's the worst.
I can't stand Mario
If I had
Lopez.
To choose between Mario Lopez and Ryan Seacrest, I'm going to pick Mario
I'd
Lopez.
I'd pick Ryan Seacrest.
Every time.
How dare you? How fucking dare you?
It's the worst.
I'd take Brian Dunkelman.
I don't know
who that is.
Oh, you don't know who one of the great stories of modern Hollywood. Brian Dunkelman.
Hold on. Get back to You're the One That I Want.
Okay. No, You're the One That I Want was a reality competition show.
Was it a dating show?
No. It ripped off American Idol. They were casting a new stage version of Grease. And so they brought it was open casting calls, and they would do song and dance numbers of music from Grease, and viewers would vote on who they want to play Sandy and Danny.
Really?
And it was called You're the One That I Want, and I loved it so much. So when you sung You're the One That I Want, I just thought of that for some reason. That's number one why I love Grease, because it was a great guilty pleasure show. Number two, Brian Dunkelman was the co-host of American Idol in season one with Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, I remember him!
He decided to leave to pursue comedy or some shit, and now no one knows who he is. He could have been a multimillionaire like Ryan Seacrest is. So anyway, that's Brian Dunkelman.
What a shame.
I know, what a shame.
Okay, so what were you saying?
So it's about like this girl who's changing herself to become like bad. And it's just like, it's she's a likable character at the beginning, so it kind of justifies it all.
Sure.
Right? And the problem, I think, is that Michael wasn't very likable, for one thing.
Well, yeah.
He's boring. Nobody liked him.
Definitely.
And I think, subtly, there's this about a guy changing himself and becoming bad for this girl, and she didn't even, like, appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? like, maybe it's because I'm a guy, too.
He fixed up his look, cleaned up his act a little bit.
I didn't really like it. I wasn't into it.
He got a new jacket.
What,
got a new hairdo.
And aren't girls supposed to be into the British guys, too? Like, isn't that supposed to be a thing?
I thought, yeah, the ethnic quality there.
But apparently they were like, no, you need to be like all these douchebags I have around me. So.
Dime a dozen, those team birds, really.
Really,
just a dime a dozen. It was, yeah, you're right. Not a very appealing quality whatsoever.
So.
What are you looking up?
All the John Travolta albums?
What?
Oh my god.
Yeah, dude, he has a best of album.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 John Travolta albums available on Spotify right now.
What a prolific music career. That's amazing. I had no idea. John Travolta, huh?
My hero.
Well,
I'm trying to find...
Oh, boy.
The soundtrack for Grease so I can download it.
Okay, we need to... We're going to post that picture, by the way, as the artwork for this show.
If you really want to.
We are. It's
very poor Photoshop on my part.
Yes, but it's a very clever idea. All right, Zach, what else you got about Grease 2?
What else do I have on Grease 2? Nothing.
All right.
It's...
Don't watch Grease 2.
No.
Not worth your time. Could be one of the worst movies ever made. It's on a lot of worst of lists. Ooh.
Look at that.
He had luscious locks.
Yeah, he did. Oh, wow.
Oh, Travolta.
Wow.
Are we ever going to do our Face-Off podcast one time? We need to talk Face-Off one time.
We do need to talk Face-Off.
Face-Off needs to... Have you seen Face-Off?
I have not.
Okay. You have not seen Face-Off?
We got to do Face-Off.
I know what it's about.
We got to do Face-Off one time. Because it's one of my favorite John Travolta performances. It is my favorite, and... Also one of my favorite Nick Cage performances.
Fair enough.
He's great in that.
Fair enough.
All right.
I think we've done our job for the day?
I think we have. You've all been naughty?
Very naughty.
Very naughty.
Naughty.
Naughty, naughty.
Fuck you. We call this quest for satisfaction of what class? A photoperiodic reaction! Well, that's good. Hey, I'm lost. Where are we? Chapter 2. Page 5. Reproduction.
I don't think they even know what a pistol is. I got your pistol right here.